Perchav Beis, the first Mishnah, the 22nd chapter, Mishnah Aleph. This Mishnah is dedicated to the Nishmas, Rabbi Shor ben Yosef, Mr. Izzy Schindelheim. Mishnah begins as follows. Chavis Shenishbara. If a jug on Shabbos broke, Matzilin Haimena Mazon Shalosh Seudos. A person is permitted to save enough from the contents of this jug for three meals. You have a jug which is filled with wine, and on Shabbos it broke. A person would be permitted to save, to gather enough liquid, to gather enough wine from it for three meals. If, however, a person has a large enough kli, then it would not be considered a great tircha. Then a person would be permitted to take a large jug to save wine from it. Wouldn't have to only save enough for three meals, but a person would be able to save an unlimited amount of wine from this jug which broke on Shabbos. Similar to the case that we discussed a few chapters earlier, just like a fire that breaks out on Shabbos, what are we so worried about? Why is it that a person is limited to how much they can save? So a number of different reasons are mentioned. One is that a person, because he really so concerned over his vessel, he's distraught over the wine, he might come to, in fact, fix this chavis, this barrel, and therefore we limit him how much he can save. Or perhaps he might, if he's able to save an unlimited amount of wine, he might come to carry kelim, derech, reshus harabim, he might come to carry various vessels and containers through a public domain to save the wine. But again, if it's just one vessel he has to bring over, which can contain a significant amount of wine, that would be permitted because that's like a one-time shot deal. Mishnah continues. Another suggestion, Omer la'achirim. This individual can then tell his friends, Bo'o v'atzilu lachem. He can tell his friends, come, go save for yourselves some wine that is coming out of this barrel. Again, they'd be limited as well, for only enough for three meals, enough food for Shabbos. Vilvad shelo yispo. There is a condition. To be permitted, of course, to gather and to collect the wine. However, a person is not allowed to collect the wine using a sponge. A sponge is used to absorb the wine. And later, what a person intends to do is to have it spill into a kli. That is usur. Why? We are concerned that a person might come to wring out the sponge. Even if there would be a handle on the sponge, in which case we're not so concerned you would come to squeeze it out, nonetheless, it is still prohibited to save the wine using a sponge. Because it is the way that it is done during the week, it is considered a maaseh chol, and therefore saving the wine using a sponge is prohibited regardless if there's a handle or if there is no handle. Next part of the Mishnah, Ein sochatin esaperos lahotzi mehen mashkin. It is forbidden on Shabbos for a person to come and to extract these fruits, to press these fruits on Shabbos, in order to extract the liquid from the fruit. Vim yatsu ma'atzman asurin. And even if the fruits themselves there's a liquid oozing out from these fruits themselves, even in such a case, it is still asur to drink these fruits. Why? Because we are concerned. The person might come to squeeze the fruit with his hands on Shabbos. What is the problem? What are we concerned about in terms of squeezing the fruit? It's mefarek, it's a tolada of dash. Squeezing a fruit is aser, it's in fact a derivative of threshing, and therefore it is aser to do, to squeeze on Shabbos. And even we are concerned, drinking these liquids, we are concerned that a person might come after they've had a little bit of yummy juice to drink. We are definitely concerned that a person might come and squeeze the fruit a little bit more to extract its juices. Therefore, even if the liquid is oozing out on its own, it is forbidden to drink it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im la cholin hayatzeh mehen mutar. In the mashkin hayatzeh mehen aser. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda and says, if these fruits are already for food to be eaten, then what in fact comes out from this fruit is permitted on Shabbos. Because the person doesn't want the liquid, the person really wants the fruit. The fact that there's a little bit of liquid that has come out, that really is of no significance to this individual. However, if this person is really interested in drinking the liquid that comes out of this fruit, then what would come out of it would be prohibited. What then is the classic example of fruits where a person really wants its juice, its liquid? That is zeisim and anavim, olives and grapes. Olives and grapes, even if, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they are usually used for drinking, in the event they are ready for eating, still, even if they're designated to be eaten, nonetheless, what would come out of them, what oozes out of them, would be usher, because zeisim and anavim, olives and grapes, are mainly used to be pressed. Other fruits, however, which are primarily used for eating, their juices would in fact be permitted, since they're usually not pressed. So therefore, the machlokes between Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda is only about other types of fruits that are soft. These other types of soft fruits, what exactly is their status? That is the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. What do they argue over? Tutim and Rimonim. They argue over specifically mulberries and pomegranates. These types of berries and pomegranates, which are soft, that is the machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda actually says they are deemed other fruit, and therefore it is mutter to have their juices, or Chachamim say no, they should be placed in the category of olives and grapes, and they would be usher to drink their juices on Shabbos, but the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda and not the Chachamim. Mishnah concludes, Halos Dvash, Sherizkon Me'erev Shabbos, beeswax, honeycombs, which are taken from the hive, they're taken out. If, let's say, already before Shabbos started, they were crushed, and what happens? They were placed, the honey would drip, before Shabbos. They're placed somewhere, and let's say the honey would, of course, already come out and ooze from them on their own. Says the Mishnah, it is usher. A person would not be allowed to eat these honeycombs, would not be allowed to eat the honey, on Shabbos. What are we worried about? A person might come and crush the rest of the honeycombs on Shabbos. However, Rabbi Eliezer permits this. Rabbi Eliezer matir. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, a person can't eat this honey on Shabbos. We are not worried that this person will come and crush the remainder of the honeycombs. And that is, in fact, the halacha. Perek Chav Beis, 22nd chapter, Mishnah Beis, the second Mishnah. Kol Sheba Bechamin Me'erev Shabbos. Anything which came in contact with hot water before Shabbos. This means anything which is cooked before Shabbos. Some actually say it has to be completely cooked before Shabbos. Shorin oso v'chamin b'Shabbos. It would be permissible to soak these food items in hot water on Shabbos. Let's say a person wants to soften it in order to make it edible. Perhaps one wants to remove some of the salt from the food item on Shabbos. Therefore, it would be permissible to soak it in hot water on Shabbos. And the reason is because ein bishul achar bishul, once food has been cooked, it cannot be recooked, and therefore placing it even in hot water on Shabbos is not considered cooking, and therefore mutter to do. The condition is this would have to be a food item and not a liquid, because for a liquid, it is possible to recook a liquid on Shabbos once it has cooled off. But a solid devargush, once it is nisbasha, once it has been cooked, in bishul achar bishul. There's no such thing as cooking after cooking, and therefore it can be placed in hot water on Shabbos. The kol shelo b'vachami mer Shabbos, and any item, any food which has not come into contact with hot water, for example, anything which was not cooked, dry meat, which maybe can be chewed on with a little bit of difficulty, but nonetheless it is edible, a person would be permitted to rinse it in hot water on Shabbos. Medichin also b'mayim the Shabbos. However, it would be usur, it would be forbidden to soak it in hot water. Chutz min hamaliach hayashan v'dagin meluchim ktanim v'kulyas ispanim. There are a few exceptions. Fish that was salted for more than a year ago, and a type of Spanish thin-skinned fish that comes from Spain. These types of food, these types of salted fish, it would be usur to place in, to rinse them in hot water. The reason is, rinsing them in hot water, shahada chasan, zohi gemar malachan, washing them. Rinsing them in hot water is considered the completion of their malacha, completion of their work. For them, it is considered boiling, and therefore usur on Shabbos to do. These salted fish that we're referring to, these Spanish fish, these types of fish, they are what's called kale habishol. They are easily cooked, and therefore would require a kli sheni, require a second vessel that was removed from the source of fire. Only water from that source could be placed on these types of fish. One would not be allowed in a kli rishon, in a kli which really itself sat on a fire, which has a tremendous ability to cook. A person would not be allowed to place these easily cookable food items in a kli rishon, but only using a kli sheni, a secondary vessel from the fire.